We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all glory and grace, you are the author of the family. You are the one who designed it. You are the one who blesses it. Come and bless our homes, our families, our life, dear Lord, with your presence divine, that the light of your word and the power of your grace might guide and rule and guard us all the days of our life. In Christ our Savior. Amen. Can you imagine the terror? We plop down on the couch to watch our favorite movie. We have a big bowl of popcorn and a drink and a little candle flickering on the end table for ambiance. And an hour later, we're startled awake by the blaring fire smoke detector and flames filling the room. Here, a little candle has set our living room and our kitchen and our bedrooms on fire all around us. The smoke is thick, and we dash for the door to save our lives. All that quickly, everything up in smoke. Or perhaps one day we're late for getting out the door. We have to rush to get to work. Oh, so we rush out the door to our car in the driveway. We throw it into reverse and we back over our 7-year-old son who was playing behind the car. Can we feel that sinking hole of despair? How am I ever going to survive what I just did? I can't bear the guilt. There has to be someone else I can blame. That's the terror Adam and Eve felt when they disobeyed God and destroyed their marriage, their perfect lives, and went screaming into the dark corners of the garden. At one time, their marriage was pure joy. Pure love, the perfect life with God and with each other, free of all pain and sorrow. They didn't know what that was. But then, wanting to have more, they became sinners and terrified of God. Their sin against God had destroyed their love for each other. The judge found them and asked them, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" With tears of fear, they quickly looked for anyone else, someone else to throw under the bus to avoid his judgment. "That woman you gave me, she gave me of the fruit and I ate it. The serpent deceived me and I ate." Satan stood in the shadows, laughing. He had gotten them to disobey God and to destroy their perfect life, their holy marriage. And in their fall, they fell from God's family into Satan's family. Had Jesus not intervened, they would have been in Satan's family for all eternity. And their marriage and their family here on earth would have continued to be a horror from hell. From the very beginning on, Satan has always attacked, tempted, and tried to bring down every single marriage, every single family on the face of the earth, tempting people to slap Jesus in the face, to pound their fist on the table and say, "I want to do things my way," believing that it's okay to sin against each other as long as I get what I want. A life of love with God and with my spouse and children, that means nothing to the wicked heart. Feed them all to that dragon of my sinful desires. And so families crumble. The Pharisees in our gospel lesson, they felt no terror or fear as they were burning marriages down to the ground with the fire of their lust, as they were crushing families under the wheels of their selfish pride, just as long as they got their way. And so they come to Jesus. They wanted to test him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? They were hoping that when Jesus said, no, it is sinful for a man to divorce his wife, then many of his followers would turn tail and leave him forever. Jesus pointed the Pharisees to Moses. What was the commandment that God gave Moses? You shall not commit adultery. The Pharisees argued, though, that, oh, divorce is God-pleasing because Moses permitted people to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. Moses permitted what? You mean all they had to do was write on a piece of paper, you're divorced, and send their wife away? These are the Israelites whom God had saved from the slavery in Egypt, who God was leading 40 years in circles in the wilderness, providing manna in the morning and quail in the evening. These were the ones who had the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the scriptures and God's promises. These were the chosen men of God who were divorcing their wives, sending them back to the tent of their parents across camp, and gaining new wives for themselves. And at such an alarming rate that Moses needed certificates of divorce just so he could keep track of who actually was married and who was not. Jesus said Moses had to allow what he could not condone, all because their hearts were so hard. Satan was busy at work. In the camp of these Israelites, Satan moved from tent to tent, sowing seeds of resentment and anger between husbands and wives so that they fought constantly, along with the flame of lust for the women in the neighboring tent. Satan's plan was to set marriages and family ablaze, to destroy God's chosen people in order to have them rebel against God and fall from God's family into his family. Satan always and ultimately wants us in hell with him for all eternity. He seeks to destroy our homes so that he also can destroy our souls. As it was then, so it is today. One of the teachings that turns people away from God's church is that marriage is the committed union between one man and one woman for life. Jesus said, "What God has joined together, let man not separate." Many people scoff at that archaic view of marriage. How is our marriage and family? Whose family is ours? Satan's or Jesus? Our Heavenly Father blessed Adam and Eve with the gift of marriage and family before they fell into sin. Out of his great love, God wanted Adam and Eve to have someone else besides himself to share their enormous love with. And so God designed Eve as a perfect complement, a helper suitable for Adam, so that their lives would fit together perfectly. Complement and build each other up as each one sought to please God and to be a blessing to each other. As they walked with God, raptured in His light and love, they were also then able to walk with each other in pure love and joy. They enjoyed the perfect marriage and the perfect home. Whose family is ours? Satan's or Jesus? Whatever God creates, Satan tries to destroy. Satan slithers not only through our garden, but into our home and into our heads and hearts. He's the one who whispers from the shadows in our home, conjuring evil thoughts in our minds, tickling our dark desires of our sinful nature, and using every evil impulse known to rip apart the delicate, intimate fabric of our lives that we share with our spouse and our children. Satan cackles, encouraging us to sit at our kitchen tables and complain and criticize and belittle and bold-faced lie to our family members. He pushes us to bully those around us by beating up the ones we supposedly love, beating them up with our words or with our fists, or punishing them with our cold, indifferent silence. Or Satan may try to harden our hearts so that we woo those who don't belong to our families and abandon our spouse and our children. Whose family is ours? Satan's or Jesus? The fallen angel Satan laughed when Adam and Eve destroyed their family. Then one day came when the angels of heaven in a field near Bethlehem sang a song of praise. Glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth. God was coming to save souls, to save marriages, to save families, to save children. As God entered this world, though, he didn't display the glory that the angels sang about. No, our writer to the Hebrews says He, Jesus, was made a little lower than the angels, suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. If the Pharisees in our gospel lesson had a 10-ton truck, they would have backed it over Jesus 100 times. Had Jesus owned a house, they probably would have burned it down with Him inside, never blushing for a moment at the depths of their wickedness. They were, however, able to lift Him up on a cross and cheer as the drops of His lifeblood dripped from His veins. To regain His family, Jesus gave His life. He suffered death so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. Jesus not only suffered physical death, but the spiritual death, the wages that our sins so much deserve. In being put to death, Jesus became victorious, defeating Satan, rising in glory. Jesus' glory wasn't on display when He came into this world, but now Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. The writer to the Hebrews spells out what Jesus' death and resurrection means for us. But the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus has made us the holy children of God. Can we fathom that? His own brothers and sisters, no longer in the family of Satan, but in the family of Jesus. That makes our marriages Christian marriages. That makes our homes and families Christian homes and families, where Christ is held in the honor and glory due him. Our marriage and our family have a life beyond our physical life in this world because we belong to God's family. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And we are not ashamed to call him our brother and our Savior. God's love fills our life with love. His almighty power protects us. His divine grace forgives us. And his holy word guides us. How different than the unbelieving home. Jesus sings to us from his glorious light and creates a quest in our souls to walk with him just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, in his light and in his love. He inspires holy passions and desires within our hearts of faith that we might live for him, singing his praise in the intimate rooms of our marriage, families, and with our children. Our marriages and houses are no longer the torture chamber of Satan, but no, they have been converted into churches, holy sanctuaries in worship of our Savior. We come to this building, putting our life on hold, pausing in God's presence to hear his word and to receive his blessing. In our homes, in our marriages, with our families, we live out our lives with all the hustle and bustle that they contain, all the love and pain, all the busyness and recreation, all the dreams and fears, with a bigger awareness that we are in the family of God. To our Savior be the glory. May his will be done with all of our daily decisions. May we feast on his life-giving word right within the four walls of our own home. This is the worship which pleases our God. Jesus has made us holy, declaring us forgiven. He who ascended in glory now lifts us up from the lowest depths of our sins to the highest height that we should be called the children of God. And now he calls for us to lift up our spouse, our children, our family in that very same grace divine. He has showered his unconditional love on us who are unlovable. And now he calls for us to shower unconditional love upon those who sin against us. He empowers us to forgive as we have been forgiven. The goals of our marriage and of our family and raising our children are God's eternal goals, that we should be in his family throughout our days in this world and for all eternity, that we should know the sublime joy of walking with him in the light of his glory through all these days, even in this world that is filled with darkness and fear, and live this blessed life with all the unbelieving people watching us. Whose family is ours? Always and only Jesus. May our earthly life always reflect the family to which we belong. To God be the glory. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, worker of all miracles, be with us. In your holy word, lift us up and fill us with grace divine, that we might live for you and not ourselves. May your name be hallowed and sacred in our hearts and homes and lives. To you be our thanks and praise. In Christ our Savior. Amen.